Proverbs 4:7. This is a command. Proverbs says, the beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. Though it costs you all you have, get understanding. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this new year, 2026, and your word is very clear. We need wisdom. We need understanding. And it may have been a while since we've actually asked you for these things, but your word says in James, if any man, if any woman lacks wisdom, they should ask God and believe and not doubt, and you will give it. So this morning, Lord, we ask for wisdom and understanding, that we may be light and salt here in this world. And so, Lord, as we always pray, we pray for spiritual eyes that see and spiritual ears that hear everything you want to say to our hearts this morning through the power of your Holy Spirit. And we pray this always and only in the name of Jesus, saying, amen. So yeah, the Advent, the Christmas season is over now. Most Americans are still kind of basking in the new year of 2026. For most Americans, a new year means a fresh start in some ways. And as we said in Adult Ed today, Americans love their New Year's resolutions, right? How many of you making resolutions? There's a few of you. I won't ask you what they are. If you're making resolutions, probably a good thing, right? About 40% of all Americans actually make New Year's resolutions, and they usually are emphasizing these sort of issues: health, fitness, finances, and diet. I appreciate our tenant over here, Marla, with the fitness center. She does a great job, and she, as a Christian lady, she will not, in January, she will not sign new people up for a year membership. You know why? Because most of them don't make it past January, and she would keep getting paid for not providing services, so she doesn't feel right about that in the Lord. So I really appreciate that. You know, without specific planning and support, most of these New Year's resolutions, well wishes, high hopes will evaporate in no time flat. Data suggests, I looked this up this week, 25% will quit their resolution sometime in January. And this was a new thing. Researchers actually have dubbed the second Friday in January as Quitter's Day. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the weekend. It's Friday. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm done. I quit. Okay. Turns out only 8 to 9% of all the people will actually keep their New Year's Day resolutions throughout 2026. What's the point? My point is this. What if we as Christians resolved in 2026 to do what the Bible clearly commands the people of God to do? Proverbs 4:7, worth memorizing. Here's the beginning of wisdom. Get it. Get wisdom. Though it costs you all you have, get understanding. Now, again, that's the command of God for the followers of Jesus Christ. You should pursue wisdom at any and every possible cost. And here's the irony, though. In all of my Christian life over the many years and decades, I probably have heard sermons counting less than all five fingers on one hand on the importance of wisdom. I have not heard many sermons on that. Again, yet it is a command. Just finished listening to a Christian podcast that I really enjoy. I'm blessed by. They had a multi-week series entitled Fill in the Blank Here. I don't know how I could live without fill in the blank. Now, this is something I often hear at funerals, especially by believers. So we had just had Carla's funeral. It was a beautiful time, a good way of celebrating that her room is now ready in heaven. But I hear believers say, I don't know how I would do with death if I didn't know Jesus. Yeah, for sure. You know, in this podcast, they talked about the importance of beauty. You know, beauty is healing in trauma. Some of you know this. Anybody catch the sunlight on the mountains this morning? Oh man, that was such a blessing as I was driving in. I just started praying and thanking God. Inner healing that we have in Jesus, a conversational intimacy with the Lord Jesus Christ, other good spiritual things. Here's the topic they didn't talk about that I noticed. Scripture commands, there was no one said, I don't know how I would live my life without wisdom. Oh, This is one of the reasons why I've really, not to point him out too much, but I've really appreciated Wayne's leading the men's Monday morning prayer and Bible study and fellowship time. And what he's frequently done over the years is have us work through the wisdom literature in the Bible. We've gone through Proverbs several times, a chapter each week, and we talk about that. Really spiritually helpful. It's a hoot. He challenged us to do it this time in Eugene Peterson's The Message. So I went and bought one on Amazon. It's hilarious. Turns of phrases from Reverend Peterson, The Message. Worth thinking about. You know, sometimes it's good to have a fresh Bible translation in your reading. We've got all kinds of different translations, Bibles on the Literature Act. Take what you want. And I put some more out there today as well. Check out Reverend Peterson's translation of Proverbs 4, 4 through 9. This is a good example. He translates it this way. Paraphrases. Says, sell everything and buy wisdom. Forage for understanding. Thought that was interesting. Don't forget one word. Don't deviate one inch. Never walk away from wisdom. And as the video said, Lady Wisdom in the Old Testament is a lady. She guards your life. Love her. She keeps her eye on you. Above all and before all, do this. Get wisdom. Write it at the top of your list. Get understanding. Throw your arms around her. Believe me, you won't regret it. Never let her go. She'll make your life glorious. Oh, that's picturesque. I like that. And yet sometimes it's also true that we often learn wisdom through the unwise choices of other people, right? There are some doozies, and the Bible's got all kinds of examples. Kind of like the time Bill was having a tough week. So he unwisely decided to have a little fun. Little fun. It was Friday night and it was payday. So leaving the office, he decided instead of going home, he'd stay out the entire weekend, partying with his buddies, in the process blow his entire week's salary. When he finally arrived home on Sunday evening, he was confronted by his angry wife. Needless to say, she hurled invective and abuse at him for nearly 2 hours in a tirade that was befitting of his irresponsible actions. And she finally stopped shouting at him, and his wife said this, "How would you like it if you didn't see me for 2 to 3 days?" Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bill very unwisely said, "That'd be just fine with me." And so Monday went by and Bill didn't see his wife. Tuesday and Wednesday came and went with the same results. However, Thursday, the swelling went down a little bit and Bill could see his wife out of the corner of his left eye. That wasn't wise, Bill. Might end up in assault. Here's the good news. If you comb carefully through God's word, you will find a consistent reminder for God's people to seek wisdom with all their hearts, right? You know, just running through my Strong's Concordance, over 500 times in the Bible does it say, get wisdom. Why? Because we're desperate for it as human beings. Book of Proverbs, it's the one place in the Bible that consistently reminds us as Christians that we should seek wisdom at all costs, right? Proverbs 3, 13 through 15 reminds us, blessed is the man, blessed is the woman who finds wisdom, the one who gains understanding, for she is more profitable than silver, yields better returns than gold, she's more precious than rubies. Nothing you can desire compares with her. Really? Wisdom is more profitable than silver, yields better returns than gold, more precious than rubies. Really? Do you believe that? Let's be practical. In the pursuit of money, we've got to pay our bills, right? Right? Caesar doesn't give Mosaic Church its lights for free, right? We pay for those. In the acquisition for more and more things that we don't need, have you ever noticed that? You get done with Christmas and your house is destroyed and you're like, it's time for spring cleaning. Look at all this garbage I got to get rid of, you know? I didn't need any of it. Have you noticed this? Oh, and here's a big problem. We have a slavish addiction for convenience. If your life has to be all about you and your convenience, and you get mad if it doesn't go your way, and you know your ego gets bigger, you're selfish. You know, remember what ego stands for? Edging God out. The bigger your ego, the more you're edging God out. Oh, we love our convenience. We love that stuff. The more you love that, the less wisdom you will have in your life. I promise you. Right? When was the last time you actually thought in the bottom of your heart, you know what I really need? I don't need more crap in my life. I need wisdom. I need the wisdom of God. I need more of that. I must acquire more wisdom. What would you be willing to do or pay? What would that look like for you to be a wise man or a wise woman in 2026? You probably got the Christmas card. Do people still give out Christmas cards? Not so much anymore. You ever see the Christmas card? They got the cool, the three wise men or whatever, and it says on it, wise men, wise women still seek him, seek Jesus. What if that was your resolution for 2026, right? How about this? Maybe convicting. It's always a funny, humbling thing. You ever in the presence of someone and they don't know you're there and they're talking about you? Like, ugh. Is that really what you think of me? If someone was talking about you, would they say that you're a wise person? That's a good question, I think. If you read the scriptures carefully, you will find that wisdom is really a multifaceted affair. It can include a number of things, including knowledge of various sorts, right? Here's a couple dictionary definitions, sort of helpful. American College Dictionary says this, wisdom is knowledge of what is true and right, coupled with just judgment in action, and it includes this old-fashioned word, prudence. Do you want prudence in your life? You know, a lot of non-Christians judge Christians, and they say, "Oh, what a bunch of prudes!" Prudes? Oh, prudence? Huh? That's interesting. The world doesn't want prudence because it's so inconvenient and it costs them. Prudence, common sense, scholarly knowledge, and erudition. Webster's Dictionary, 1828. Having the power of discerning and judging correctly, discriminating between what is true and what is false, between what is fit and proper and what is improper. Here's a quick test. Somebody wants to do something and you ask a question and they get mad. Yeah, I'm going over to Mickey D's to get a value meal. You know, you're probably about 55, 60 years old. Is that wise? They get mad. Don't get in my way. I want what I want when I want it. Okay, those are good dictionary definitions as insofar as what they are. How about some theological definitions? This is a good one. Walk away with this one. The greatest Christian theologian in the medieval world, that was St. Thomas Aquinas. I love to quote this guy. Remember this one. What is wisdom? It is the view from the mountaintop. That's what wisdom is. That's the grand perspective. That's God's perspective. Go up to one of the mountains, look at the valley. It's gorgeous, isn't it? And you really see everything. Or if you're in a city, you go up to the big skyscrapers and look down, that kind of thing. That's wisdom. It's the big view. It's the big perspective, right? And that's so helpful. Understanding, little bit different, but related. The old name is prudence, right? What is prudence? Prudence is the feel of the moral situation and doing the best thing. You walk into a room and something's just wonky. You're just like, what's going on? Or people are arguing or fighting. What would be the best way to diffuse this? Or what is the best way to solve this problem? That is prudence. Prudence enables you to do the right thing in a particular situation. Wouldn't that be helpful? Instead of getting all mad and bent out of shape and whatever, it's like, what would be my best response in this situation? Now, you also have to do this. You have to get your butt out of the way, right? We've said this before. Get your backside, B-U-T-T, out of the way and get your questions out of the way. About God, what about this? Well, what about that? Ask for the God perspective. This is not about you. You know, the Christian life is not about you. I want to be happy. Well, pursue happiness, and I promise you, you won't get it. I said this at Carla's funeral. You know why Carla was happy? Because she served other people, and she served in Jesus' name, and she had joy. That's how you get it. You don't get happiness by pursuing it. You get it by serving the Lord and serving others. You know those people in your family you don't like? Serve them, and you'll find a strange happiness after you want to take their head off. Just move that out of it, because that's part of the ego too. I know it's hard, but it is practical as well. You've got to ask God for both prudence, so I can know what's going on in this situation, and wisdom, which is the view from the mountaintop. Oh, that's what we need. Here's the thing. You could make prudent decisions in life, and that's important, but if you don't have the bigger mountaintop view of wisdom, it will end up being a bit short-sighted, won't it? Right? Wisdom is practical too. You know, we've talked about this before. In order to become a master of any particular area, it's generally said, how many hours do you got to practice? That's right, there are 10,000 hours. You want to be a master? I don't want to spend all that time. I don't have time to work on that. I gotta watch my cat videos here. I gotta scroll and get my dopamine hit. Yeah, I don't drink or do drugs, but man, I get my hits, and I'm watching this dumb thing, Kung Fu Cat, for 37 minutes, and I'm like, what happened to my life? I could have been doing something wise, prepping dinner for my wife or something. Lord, we're just so silly sometimes, aren't we? Wisdom can be subtle and deep. Again, it's really practical and common sense too. You know, this is confirmed not only by the Bible, but other ancient authors. Here would be a fun thing for you to do in the new year. Have you ever read through Aesop's Fables? I used to do this with my kids because it's so wise, but they use animals, so it seems innocuous. It's not like a sermon or, well, you know, kind of thing. It's like, oh, these animals are doing stuff, and sometimes it's cool and sometimes it's stupid, but you learn from it. Aesop was the fabulous teller of fables. We get the word fabulous from fables, right? Aesop once told this lesser-known fable. You ever heard of the astrologer? Get a copy of Aesop's fables. Read those. You will become wiser and have fun with it too. He said, wisdom should be practical and applicable. Here's Aesop's fable of the astrologer. Once upon a time, a man learned to observe the movements of the stars in order to try and predict the future. Oh, Christians don't do that, right? They just listen to all kinds of wonky prophecy teaching, and, well, I'll stop, right? And he soon became famous because people traveled all over to pay for his advice. One evening, he was walking down the road with his eyes fixed on the stars, just looking at them, while paying no heed to his path. Before he knew it, he tripped and fell into a pit of muddy water. His neighbors heard his shouts, came running. When they realized who had fallen in and gotten stuck in the muddy pit, they suddenly had no pity for him, and one of them cried, "Well, he thinks he can predict the future, but he couldn't foresee this." Or another man who was a little more helpful, helping him back to his feet, said, "You better spend less time looking at the stars and more time watching your feet, sir." That's wisdom, is it not? Right? If you randomly ask several people from the streets to describe Christians, ooh, that's always loaded, right? Especially if they're not a believer. How many people would say, oh, the Christians, oh yeah, they're really wise? I don't think so. You know, the Bible's command to acquire wisdom at any cost, why don't we do that? Why doesn't it cause us a certain amount of grief that most believers not only think that we as Christians are unwise, they think we're downright stupid, right? Let's just say it. For what it is. That's why I get frustrated, and you'll hear me go off on this occasionally. You ever notice Christians who unwisely glory in their own ignorance? Ignorance is fine. That just simply means you don't know. But if you choose to remain ignorant and not wisely study or learn or grow, then you're just stupid. There's a lot of stupid Christians out there. They drive me nuts, right? You're like, that's kind of harsh. Well, this is an important topic, really. Kind of like the time, but this is practical. I've shared this before. Have any of you traveled and visited lovely Wisdom, Montana? Sneeze and blank and you'll miss it. Interesting, Wisdom. Have you ever been to that little grocery store / gas station / fill in the blank / whatever in Wisdom? Yeah. When I first moved here, I saw a little sign. It was meant to be funny, near the bathroom. And it said this: "You know you're a Montanan if the only course of study that you have completed was your hunter safety certificate." Ha, ha, ha. Yeah. You know, I know it's a joke, but I found it chilling spiritually, because at its core, isn't it kind of a weird form of pride mixed with vanity and lazy sloth? That's the deadly sins, right? Yeah, I know. I know better. I got this. I don't need to know that stuff. Jim, I don't need to hear about all that. I just need Jesus. Well, then study thyself approved, a workman, a workwoman who need not be ashamed. I don't need all that stuff. Yeah, you do. You need wisdom. You need understanding. You need prudence. Put down the phone. Am I preaching now or am I meddling? I'm preaching to myself, right? Proverbs 4, 5, and 7 reminds us what? Get wisdom, get understanding, right? Don't forget my words, the proverb guy says. Don't turn away from them. Don't forsake wisdom. She will protect you, love her, and she will watch over you. That is generally true. Yeah, sometimes bad things happen to people, as the video said, but in general, if you submit yourself to wisdom, understanding, prudence, your life will probably go a lot better, right? And you'll be a lot less selfish too, right? But again, if you're addicted to convenience, maybe you need to repent of that. You can't be wise if your life is all about your ego and your convenience, right? Beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom, though it costs you everything you have, get understanding. Go to church. You know, Ravalli County is a place of traditional values in general. Believe me, I've lived in some really pagan places. This is not bad, more or less. But you know, only 15% of residents of this county go to church. 15%. You know how many Christians I've talked to? It's like, yeah, I love Jesus. Great. Hey, where's your church family? Oh, I don't go to church. Well, why not? Oh, because, you know, they're a bunch of hypocrites and whatever. Well, why don't you join? I'm sure you are too. And then they don't come to Mosaic and whatever. And that's fine. It's just me and Jesus. I don't need Christians or the church. It's like, yeah, you do. You need a family. And no, there's no church family that's perfect. You know that. But in the end of the day, you got to lay your head somewhere, right? You got to have a place to lay your head, so to speak, right? I think that's important. James 1, 5 through 6. Here's the New Testament book of wisdom. James says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he or she should do what? How about ask God? When was the last time you asked God for wisdom? Who generously gives to all without finding fault, it will be given to them. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. If you ask God, God, I need wisdom. I know you can give it to me. You said you promised you'd give it to me. Give me wisdom. Well, he'll do it. I promise you, it's a scriptural truth right there. Could it be any clearer? If you need wisdom, and who doesn't, ask God. He's going to give it to you. When was the last time you asked God for wisdom? Important question. Can't you see that acquiring wisdom is one of the most important things you could ever pray for as a Christian? How many problems could be solved? How many conflicts could be avoided? That'd be worth it, right? How many lives could be saved if we had only asked God for wisdom? How many people have lost their lives because they didn't make wise choices? They did something else. You probably know people like that, right? Again, we are promised that God will give us wisdom generously if we just simply ask and truly believe. So what would you be willing to do in 2026 to acquire wisdom? What cost would you be willing to pay? The Bible says wisdom is more valuable than gold, silver, or rubies. That's not just metaphorical. That's actually practical. How about this? When was the last time you read the book of Proverbs and sat with it and prayed through it? That might be a good start. How about a chapter each day, praying through it for wisdom? Would you be willing, here's something that our society is a cult of youth. It's really gross. It is, it's really gross. Do you have any older or wiser men and women in your life? Man, I surround myself with old people because they know stuff and I want to learn from them. It could be anything, all kinds of stuff. You know, Henry Nouwen, the Christian author, says, you know, we do a disservice to our elderly when we just ignore them. They should, these are people who know stuff. Why are you not asking? You can learn, or at least be around them and let it, some of their wisdom rub off. Yeah, I know, it's harder for younger people because then you'll have to endure, yeah, you know, I was at the doctor and I had a procedure and I got a new medication and oh, you know, that's part of it. And you're like, ah. Walk through it because they got some wisdom for you. And besides, that's going to be you someday anyway. So don't. Are you done? Yes, I'm almost done. Would you be. Sorry. Would you be willing to carefully read and comb through the Bible's wisdom books? How about in the Old Testament? Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. New Testament, Book of James. What a great way to acquire some more wisdom, especially Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and James. Those are good. Some people don't like Ecclesiastes because he's an old grouchy old dude, and oh, you kids get off my lawn, and you know, I ache and whatever. Actually, it's really wise. He's saying that everything apart from God is vain. Fear God and obey him. What a great, one of my favorite books, a little grouchy. Book of James is so practical too. Would you be willing to commit yourself to ask God daily in 2026 that he would give you wisdom in all things? I hope you would. Proverbs 1:1-7 starts off this. Why? So that you may gain wisdom, understanding, and discipline. Oh, discipline, is that a dirty word? Without discipline, you will have no freedom in your life, right? Oh, I just do this and I do that and, you know, I read my Bible when I feels like it. Very bad idea. You should be starting your day with the Lord, right? You're like, well, that's kind of a new thing for me. Taking our daily bread. I start my day with those. Those are great. I don't have time, Jim. Yeah, you do. Put one in your bathroom. I'm done. Don't tell me you don't have time for the Lord, right? All right, wrap it up, man. Why? So that you can acquire a prudent and discerning life, one that knows right from wrong, good from evil, that you can, understanding proverbs and parables. You know, Jesus' parables are a form of wisdom teaching. You know, the kingdom of heaven is like a guy, and he went out and threw some seed here and there, and some of it grew and some of it didn't grow, and you're like, whatever. Is this going to be on the test? Yes. Well, tell me what it means. No, you got to pray about it. You know, Jesus only explained 2 out of his 40 parables. Why? Because he wants you to become wise. He's not going to, this is not the airplane game with a baby in a high chair. That's not how you get wisdom, right? Save that for the babies. You're not a baby, I hope, right? That you might understand proverbs and parables, the sayings and the riddles of the wise. In Adult Ed pre-Lenten series, we're gonna read the crazy sayings of the desert fathers. These guys were nuts. I love them. In the 4th century in Egypt and other places, they would be alone with God, and they'd come up with all these wise things because they weren't distracted. And sometimes they, like children, they say the darndest things. And wisdom should be uncomfortable sometimes, right? Sayings, riddles of the wise, so that you may know deep in your heart and soul that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and only fools despise wisdom and discipline. So above all else, in 2026, get wisdom. Though it costs you everything, get understanding. Amen? That's your goal for this year. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you that you call us clearly in the Word to get wisdom, to get understanding, not merely academically, though that's helpful too. We thank you that wisdom is also very practical. We thank you that it's required for relationships and especially difficult relationships in our lives, Lord. So, Lord, help us to be wise. We ask you for wisdom. We believe you will give it to us because you promised, and we do not doubt. Help us, Lord, so that we may be more fully devoted followers of the Lord Jesus Christ in 2026. And we pray all this in his name, saying, amen.